Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we are so blessed that you're joining us. Our prayer is that we all come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. We invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. in person at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, or you can join our live stream. Just go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship. Click on the live stream at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. If you miss those two opportunities, you can always go to our YouTube channel, which is the Seed Christian Fellowship, and you can watch the complete worship service, the weekly sermons, or the children's sermons. We've been doing a study in the Apostles' Creed. This is week 9. I've titled this message, I Believe in the Resurrection Life. Let's begin. I hope that you all had a wonderful week. It's my hope and prayer that you took some time during the week to read those wonderful stories of forgiveness proclaimed in the Bible. I would gladly send you the pages. If you want a page on the forgiveness passages, just email me at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship. Before we read the Apostles' Creed, let's just take a moment in prayer. Lord God of creation, you have created us to live in a love relationship with you. Help us to turn our hearts to you today so that we can truly experience a resurrection life. Amen. Join with me in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We need to remember that during a time when a creed was written, they were written to defeat a false teaching or proclaim what a person or a group believed. When the Apostles' Creed was written, there were many false teachings. There were many false teachings, as there are many false teachings today. That is why it is important for us to know what we believe and why we believe what we believe. There was a teaching in the early church called Gnosticism. In some ways, the teachings of the Gnostics are still with us today. Gnosticism comes from the Greek word gnosis, meaning knowledge. The Gnostics believed that people were saved through special knowledge. They viewed the physical or material world as evil and corrupt. The Greeks believed that the body or flesh was just a prison for the soul, and that only the soul was immortal. The early church put line 11 in the Apostles' Creed in order to proclaim that God is the creator, and what God created was good, and the body is part of God's creation. When God created Adam and Eve and breathed life into their lungs, God said that his creation was very good. What God creates is good, very good. Turn to your neighbor or your friend or someone you co-worker that you work with and tell them they are very good, because that's what God's creation says. The resurrection of the body is truly a mystery. That's what we're going to be talking about today. The resurrection of the body is truly a mystery. After Jesus rose from the dead, the disciples on the road to Emmaus did not recognize him. Mary was told not to hold on to him. The problem is that we were created very good, but sin separates us from God. Therefore, God sent his one and only begotten Son, Jesus, to suffer under Pontius Pilate, to be crucified, dead, and buried. But the good news, the greatest news of all, is that Jesus rose from the dead and conquered sin and death forever. Jesus invited the disciples to eat breakfast on the beach. Jesus told Thomas to put his hands in his nail scars and to put his hand in the place where the spear pierced his side. If Jesus had a resurrected body, be certain that you and I will too. Let me say that again. If Jesus had a resurrected body, be certain that you and I will too. The resurrection of the body is truly a mystery. As I studied this scripture this week, I read how one early church father by the name of Origen thought that the resurrection of the body meant the body of Christ, the church. The resurrection of the body is a mystery, and some of the most profound writings on the resurrection are found in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Paul's words on the resurrection. Paul begins with the resurrection of Christ, then turns his attention to the resurrection of the dead, and finally, his longest teaching is on the resurrection of the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to read verses 1 through 8, then 12 through 17, and then we'll pick up on 35 through 59. It's a long reading, but it's worth reading together. Listen to what Paul says. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as one abnormally born. But if it is preached that Christ has not been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But if he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised, for if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Verse 35. But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he determined, and to each kind of seed, he gives it his own body. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is of one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another, and the stars differ from star in splendor. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth, and as it is the man from heaven, and so are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man of heaven. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, he says, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. And when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You know, there's a story about a brazen preacher once told his congregation, someday every member of this parish will die. The congregation was stunned, all except one man who laughingly said, good thing I don't belong to this parish. Well, small comfort. Despite medical miracles, the mortality rate remains at precisely 100%. This is the bad news. Death is a fundamental human problem. The truth is that we will all die. But the good news is that those in Christ will live with resurrected bodies. Let me say that again. The truth is that we will all die. That's the bad news. But the good news is that those in Christ will live with resurrected bodies. Christianity stands out alone among all the world's faith and all the different isms. Christianity views death as conquered. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith. This is brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. Our prayer team would love to pray for you. If you have a special prayer concern, just email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship, and we'll pray for you. And you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship, click on the prayer concerns, and write your prayer concern. Our prayer team would love to pray for you. But I'm talking about the bad news. The bad news is that we will all die. The good news is that those in Christ will live with resurrected bodies. Christianity stands out alone among all the world's faith and different isms. Christianity views death as being conquered. Be a Christian is to have hope, resting in a fact. Let me say that again. To be a Christian is to have a hope, resting in a fact that Jesus rose bodily from the grave and now lives eternally in heaven. We have this hope in the power of the resurrection. The writer of Hebrews said that this hope is the anchor of our soul. The Apostle Paul tries to explain the mystery of the resurrection. Well, by not explaining it, he points to the mystery of a seed and a tree and offers a word picture as an explanation. And of course, I like the idea of a seed since that's the name of our church, the Seed Christian Fellowship. We have been given resurrection life and hope through the seed, the living word of God. Tim Keller is a pastor, writer, and teacher of a church in New York who, well, just recently passed away. He experienced the resurrection. Keller tells the following story about the power of Christ's resurrection. This is what he said. A minister was in Italy, and there he saw a grave of a man who had died centuries before, who was an unbeliever and completely against Christianity, but a little afraid of it too. So the man had a huge stone slab put over his grave so he would not have to be raised from the dead in case, well, just in case there was a resurrection from the dead. He had insignias put all over the slab saying, I do not want to be raised from the dead. I don't believe in it. Can you understand that? He put on the slab, I do not want to be raised from the dead. I don't believe in it. Evidently, when he was buried, an acorn must have fallen into the grave. So 100 years later, the acorn had grown up through the grave and split the slab and now is a tall, towering oak tree. The minister looked at it and asked, if an acorn, which has the power of biological life in it, can split a slab with that magnitude, what can the acorn of God's resurrection power do in a person's life? Now, that's a good so what question. Do you have just a little acorn of faith? Friends, here's the good news of the resurrection. Here is the hope we have in the resurrection. The minute we decide to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit comes into our life. This power of the Holy Spirit coming to take up residence in our heart is just like the power of the resurrection. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. If you've never had that opportunity to ask Jesus in your heart, wow, now's the time. A simple prayer. Lord Jesus, come in my heart. Forgive me for my sins. Guide me and teach me in your way. Simple, but not easy. When we ask for the Holy Spirit to come in, the power of the resurrection, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you and me. One scholar likes to say that we now have some of Jesus's DNA in us, and we are related. We have this hope of the resurrection. Stop for a moment. Well, not if you're driving. Stop for a moment to think of the things you see as immovable slabs in your life. Maybe your bitterness, your insecurity, your fears, your self-doubts, your hurts, your regrets, your past, or even your future. Those things can all be split and rolled away. The more you know Jesus, the more you grow in the power and the hope of the resurrection. I know that we don't have time today to plumb the depths of all these passages on the resurrection. I would encourage you to go home this week and read and reread chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Get a journal or write in your Bible. Allow the Holy Spirit, who is your teacher, to teach you all things. I would like to share for just a few moments on verses 42 through 44 and look at what Paul is trying to say. This is what he writes. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, but is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, but it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, but it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 42 through 44. I like the words that Paul uses to contrast the physical life and the resurrected life. Perishable versus imperishable, dishonor versus glory, weakness versus power, natural versus spiritual. Perishable means that our mortal bodies are subject, well, they're subject to corruption, decay, sickness, illness, and even death. But our resurrected bodies will not be subject to any of these maladies or conditions. Dishonor means a state of disgrace, shame, or sin. The resurrected body will be raised in, well, doxa is the Greek word. It'll be raised in glory. No more sin or shame. No more condemnation. No more disgrace. No more weakness. The Greek word means to be in want of strength, feebleness, illness, incapacity, or timidity. When we come to our resurrection, we will have the power instead of timidity. No fear, we will have power. Natural bodies, wow. This old body will be replaced with a body fully filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, so what? Let's kind of wrap this up. I believe in the resurrection. That's what the Apostles' Creed says. I've been asking you for, well, the last 7, 8, 9 weeks, what the resurrection means to you. I've asked if you would share your responses. Some of you have written me. Some of you have shared. I believe that the early church gained their strength and power by sharing their hope and life in the power of the resurrection of Jesus. This past week, I sent out a text to a lot of people and told them I was teaching on the passage, teaching on this passage about the resurrection, and I asked them what they believed and thought about the resurrection. Here's a few answers to those texts. One person wrote, "I believe with all that is in me that Christ died for my sin and rose from the dead, and to not accept this would be total loss. This loss would reach beyond the grave to eternity. I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart." This is what another good friend wrote me. "The crucifixion is God's grace to us, and the resurrection is the exclamation point. I'm reminded that the communion service was the celebration of the life of the resurrection, with joy and happiness as proof of the promise." A good friend of mine was in a tragic accident that took his life. My dear friend has had multiple surgeries after the accident so that he could walk with a cane. My friend shared in his text to me, he lives out in Pennsylvania, he wrote this. He said, "Well, simply, on a personal note, without the resurrection, I'm stuck with this body being the best I will ever have." That is depressing. Yes, I look forward to the resurrection because of being home physically with the Lord, but truthfully, I also look forward to getting a new body free of all the pains of this world. The perishable will put on imperishability. This body that is swallowed up with shame and sin will be raised in glory. This body that is weak and broken will be given new power. This natural, decaying, dying body will be given life and life abundantly. So what does the resurrection of Christ and your resurrection mean to you? That's my so what question. So what does the resurrection of Christ and your resurrection mean to you? You can email me at PastorDave@TheSeed Christian Fellowship. I would be interested to read your thoughts on that. So what does the resurrection of Christ and your resurrection mean to you? Listen, for the early disciples who stood up and proclaimed the Apostles' Creed, many did, so at the expense of their own life. They gave their lives for the proclamation that Christ died. They gave their lives for the Apostles' Creed by saying, "I believe in the resurrection of the body." We've been studying the Apostles' Creed for like 9 weeks. I know it's a creed, it's an old creed, but it says, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." I want you to know that God loves you, and so do we. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I pray for each and every person listening today. May they come to know the power and the hope of the resurrection. Fill them with a hope that will never disappoint them. Let them know that Jesus loves them. He died and rose again to give them eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. God loves you, and so do I. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and give you his grace each and every day. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, PastorDave@TheSeedChristianFellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.